everybody. It's Kai.
And I am Molly, and welcome to a mini episode of Make Me Smart, our brand new podcast, now in mini form.
Mini form. The macro form coming after the inauguration in January, 23rd of January to be specific. This is just a little amuse-bouche, if you will, a little thing.
It is.
A little thing.
It's an amuse-bouche to whet your palate.
I never understood why that word was spelled W-H-E-T, but that's a whole different thing.
It's so you can say it just like that.
Oh, all right.
It's a whet. You sound fancy.
We're going to go like 7 minutes tops with this thing, just to give you guys a sense of what it is going to sound like. And we're going to take a topic in the news, Ms. Wood, and digest it a tad. Connect some dots. Ready, go.
It's time for the news fix.
The idea really was kicked off by a thing that came out from Facebook a couple of days ago. Facebook, Microsoft, Twitter, and YouTube are coming together, the press release says, to help curb the spread of terrorist content online, which is of undoubted value, right? We want to do that. But the issue really here is how that happens.
Yeah, exactly. So we're going to have a little debate today about how to handle information on social media, which I think, as Kai mentioned, we can all agree is a big deal, capital B, capital D. This also comes on the heels, of course, of Twitter finally taking steps to remove sort of en masse a bunch of white nationalist Twitter accounts.
Right.
And an ongoing conversation about how to deal with fake news, abusive content, obviously these sorts of terrorist videos. And I am finding myself increasingly of the opinion that we're moving in a dangerous direction with respect to censorship.
Yeah, this is really interesting because you and I, you know, obviously pulling back the curtain here, that we've had conversations before we turn the microphones on about what we're going to talk about and how we're going to do it. And it's clear we disagree a tad, I believe. So it's worth a mention on how these companies are going to do it, right? They're going to share sort of the it's not metadata, right? That's not the right word. What is it that they're going to share?
Metadata is not a bad word, actually. Right. That's probably the closest or the, you know, for people, people who understand that word. That's the best explanation. What they're going to do is share what they're calling a digital fingerprint. So if a video pops up on Facebook and it's a beheading video, you know, propaganda video by ISIS, Facebook will say, okay, here's the digitally identifying information about this video. Here you go, Twitter, Microsoft, and YouTube. Notably, not Google, by the way.
Yep.
Here, guys, you can take this video down. Here's how you find it. Go to it directly. So that is a level of collaboration we have not seen before. And it comes at the same time as Facebook is attempting to patent some tools for identifying and then removing objectionable content.
Is that your objection to this? And I keep using this phrase and I apologize, but is that your objection to the slippery slope that we're going to automate this? Or is it the very idea that we're talking about removing content? Because I'm confused.
So, yeah, it's... Well, the patent, let me say that specifically the patent scares the bejesus out of me. Like the idea that a patented technology would exist for removing content.
Yeah.
Period. Full stop. Could be eventually acquired by someone else. Could, you know, that is sort of like, okay, you're really getting serious about ways to remove content. And objectionable content is itself the slippery slope. Like the attempt to define that. For example, it is not addressed in the press release what exactly is terrorist material, and censorship before it gets out of hand at the top of the slope always starts with indefensible content like child pornography or terrorism or white nationalism, and then it spreads. Like just one example is these ISP filters that were put in place in the UK in 2014. David Cameron, the Prime Minister, said this is for child pornography. Yeah. This is totally to prevent, you know, sexual predators. ISPs were on the hook for this information. Who's going to stand up and say, no, we're going to allow this content to
exist? I want that content out there, right.
But like always happens, one, the filters didn't work to block child pornography. And two, they started spreading like wildfire. Pretty soon, ISPs were blocking websites that dealt with sexual health, domestic violence, eating disorders. Eventually, the ISPs ended up filtering out the website of a Tory member of parliament who had supported the filter because her website described what she was trying to protect against.
Which is, I think, called delicious irony. So there's two things going on here, right? Slippery slope and who decides.
Yep, exactly. But I know that you, Kai, you are on record in many of our pilot episodes that nobody's heard as saying that you really think Twitter, in particular, like needs to do something. See, and this has become an issue even this week with Donald Trump potentially inciting supporters to go after this union guy.
This poor union guy, right? Mm-hmm. So Twitter, as you and I have had, I think, the conversation on the radio, not just in the pilot episodes that nobody's heard and they're going to be under lock and key forever. Twitter has a horrible, 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 disgusting, no good, terrible abuse problem, right? Now, let me just tell you one personal anecdote here. A couple of days ago, like maybe a week, 10 days or so ago, when Donald Trump made that huge big carrier deal in which he was going to save 1,100 jobs, which later turned out to be 740 jobs, I sent out a tweet that said, "So, eye on the ball here, people. 1,100 jobs are being saved, but another 1,100 are still being outsourced, and the 1,100 are a symbol." That somehow came to the attention of some alt-right people on Twitter, and I got abusive language directed at me. And for the first time, somebody said to me, "Well, what do you expect from a Jew like you?" Now, oh yeah, it was amazing, and it literally made me stop and go, "Wait, what?"
Yeah.
And so let's move past, you know, whether it applies or any of that stuff, and just say, here I am, white American male, completely secure, not at all vulnerable, take your pick, and this stuff's being directed at me. I can't imagine what it's like for a woman, a person of color, somebody who's in a more vulnerable position in this society.
Yeah.
And so I believe that it is, not only is it morally up on Twitter to fix that, it is for them, I have said it publicly and I'll say it again, it is a business imperative.
I think it's a business imperative. I think that and that will eventually lead to the reason the conversation goes on for years and years, right? Because ultimately they will have to make the platform a more palatable place if they want people to remain on it. And that may involve censorship, and that will become a slippery slope. Like history is littered with examples of us overcorrecting and then causing all of these sort of add-on problems. Like probably the biggest example is the Patriot Act, right? I mean, it was a very obvious response to an absolutely horrific act, the terrorist attacks of 9/11.
Yeah.
But it ended up leading to unprecedented expansion of electronic and telephone surveillance powers that we're still grappling with, that we're still finding out about, that we're still attempting to roll back. The DMCA, the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, was supposedly about, you know, not keeping you from stealing copyrighted material or ripping DVDs, but it ended up stifling security research because researchers were afraid that if they reverse engineered copyright code to uncover flaws that were actually dangerous to people, that they would get arrested. There are a million of these.
So my timer here says 7 minutes and 51 seconds, which means we're going longer than we wanted to, but we'll fix that.
You're so good at radio.
It is my only job. So if this was a real thing, this is where a funder would go. This is where the credits would go because you got to pay the bills.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not going to do that. But what we are going to do is talk about how we get y'all involved in this thing, how we get audience interaction, because really me and Molly sitting here is no fun. It's all up to you guys.
Make me smart.
Make me smart.
Hey, make me smart.
We're so delighted because even in just the few days since we told you guys this podcast was a reality, we have started getting questions. In fact, we got so many from one listener whose last name is Colbert, or maybe Colbert. Let's call her Colbert.
Oh, yeah.
So many that our producer Jenny is calling it the Colbert list.
The Colbert list.
We're going to be like working through the Colbert list. But we got a question from James Taylor. You guys, like, apparently only famous people are emailing our show. You answered in droves. And this seemed like the perfect question to open with because we have to be honest here. We don't know.
We don't know. And there are people out there who will know. And James Taylor, once again, probably not the singer, although maybe who knows. He wants to know about health savings accounts as we move into sort of this new economy and how it's going to go with healthcare and everything. He wants to know what he should do about them, whether he it's going to be beneficial for him, what they are, how they might work. And so we're going to throw it to you guys, right? I mean, yes, it's, you know, created 2003 so that people with high deductible health plans can get tax benefits from their money. But there's more to it than that.
If you know the answer, you can email us at makemesmart@marketplace.org. You can even just tweet us the answer, but don't tweet us a link to the U.S. Treasury Department definition because we read it and everybody read it and it doesn't make sense to anybody. And our goal here is to make us smarter than the simple definition that uses words that I think I know the meanings to, but the way they're arranged just doesn't work for me.
So
if you're using one, if you work with HSAs for a living, if you are just somehow a genius on why tax deferment is such a big deal and nobody gets it, please contact us. You can also put this stuff on our Facebook pages.
Yes.
Right? We have facebook.com/KaiRizdahl and facebook.com/Mollywood. There are no shortages of ways to get in touch with us. We also have one other update for those of you who asked us on Twitter whether this show, this delightful little podcast, will be available on Google Play. It will be.
It will, which is no small bureaucratic feat here. Let me just tell you that.
Soon.
Let me just tell you, we move some mountains. We push some boulders up some hills.
Totally do. If it is not there yet, it will be there soon. And if all you're right, kind of the roll your own type and you want to be it, because we're promoting the iTunes link, but if you want to plug the RSS feed into your podcatcher, you can find that feed URL at marketplace.org/podcast.
Also at marketplace.org/makemesmart. Sign up. Get the latest news on the show. Get us and we'll answer because that's what we're going to do. All right.
Talk to you soon.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.